Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday, January 21st, 2019. There you heard all the highlights and the lowlights of the Chiefs' 37-31 overtime loss to the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game. So the season has now come to an end. Just a step short of the Super Bowl, and it's not the ending that any of us wanted. I know many people today are probably not even going to turn on the radio because they don't have to work or they don't have to take the kids to school because it's a holiday and they will be home asleep after a late night at Arrowhead Stadium, after a late night trying to get out of a very sad/angry parking lot. It's a very cold night, but we're here. We're here with you until 10 o'clock. And then I am extremely lucky because I have two wonderful, beautiful people to focus on today instead of being sad about the Chiefs, because you know, watching the game with my sons, I had to deal with them last night. And I've had a whole bunch of people ask, hey, how are you, man? You know, you put your feelings aside when you see your kids are upset. And that becomes the priority. And that's hard to watch. But it's hard to watch. Richie is fueled by my anger. And then Phil had my sadness. And so it was a combination last night. So I was making sure they were cool and taking care of them. And then I made the phone call that I was dreading. Calling, I've told you about how Selena's fallen in love with the Chiefs. And she's my little right-hand gal watching all the games and everything else. And, boy, she was in tears. 15-minute phone conversation, and then stayed up with her. She waited for us to get home, still wearing all of her Chiefs stuff. And I brought her towel, her rally towel. And then she was still very upset, but had a long talk with her. But I was quickly reminded by my daughters that today is her 10th birthday. And so,
happy birthday!
That is something that I needed and they needed. So I get off the air. I will be, and they're off of school today. So a shopping trip and perhaps a wonderful lunch at Chuck E. Cheese is my future. So if ever I was excited about going to Chuck E. Cheese and that the beautiful distraction of overpriced pizza and angry parents yelling at their kids.
I think I might need Chuck E. Cheese today.
This is one day where Chuck E. Cheese can really be can really help me.
Good distraction.
A good distraction. You know, I think I've ever felt more excited to go see Chuck E. Cheese.
Mr. Cheese.
Right, Mr. Cheese.
I've been more excited to hang out Mr. Cheese.
Oh,
Mr. Cheese,
man.
Take my money.
I think I need some Chuck E. Cheese in my life today.
Yeah. You know,
have it all, Chucky.
So, you know, throw some skee ball and hit some gopher's heads.
And that's you know what, I might need Chuck E. Cheese more than
that. Yeah, right. Yeah. To be honest with you. Yeah, right.
So that's, you know,
get yourself some tickets, get yourself a nice bouncy ball, maybe as a prize. You know,
keychains.
It's really all on the table when you go there.
Right.
There's no limits, to be honest with you. You know. And so that put it in perspective. But then, you know, so then after everyone goes to sleep, and I still can't sleep. I don't know about you guys. I'm just tossing and turning. And we parked as far away from the stadium as I've ever parked because, once again, in a step in the direction of turning into my dad, I was parking with the idea of the best way to leave. And I parked on the furthest outskirts, and the whole time I'm thinking, hey, this is a walk. But boy, when we get to the car, you know, we'll drive right out of here, you know. And the boys, you know, just like, what the hell's wrong with you? Why don't you just park as close as possible? Like, no. And in theory, it did work out. But I my God, we walked, I feel like we walked 10 miles in the car, and it was not enjoyable. It was not a, it was.
Can't imagine.
That was not a pleasant walk going over the, you know, the tunnel.
Yeah.
So parked in L.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Right, right.
L40. See? Out there and right on the island. So I just pull off, and I'm right there on the
road.
There
you go.
Because, you know, I'm full of energy. I'm ready to go before the game. Like, yeah, this is a good idea. And I'm going to get my step. Got my Fitbit. I'm
right.
Get my steps in.
Yep. Yeah.
Uh-oh, hey, I'm going to the game, and I'm getting my steps
get
in.
Get your heart exercise.
Everything was a good idea before the game.
It was all clicking.
Dude.
Everything was a bad idea after the game.
I had the exact opposite
I looked
experience.
At both of them. I said, let me ask you a question. Why in the hell did you guys let me park out here? We told you.
Yeah, right.
I don't think you did, I don't think you protested enough. You know that I'm not making sound decisions.
You have to push harder.
And we walked.
Push
and
back.
And then a buddy of mine that drove into town from high school, you know, Mark Covey from Omaha.
Covey.
Said, meet me at the damn car. I texted him. And we waited there, and there were so many opportunities just passing. Could have got out there. Could have got out there. Could have got out there. And finally, but you know, he was upset, so he got there, and that was it. But the brutal part of it was, you know, walking that whole way. It's like, let's see how many distraught fans that I can interact with.
A lot of misery.
Between Arrowhead and L40.
How quick did you get out after the game was over? Everybody around me just wasn't like stood still, and I just beeline. I like gone.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good because once I got it was a little rough. You know?
I was in my house in sweatpants by 9:28.
Oh no. No, I was still in the parking lot.
I was gonna say my strategy. I didn't
leave the stadium right away.
Okay,
I was on the phone talking to Selena, hearing her cry. I was trying to deal. You know, I didn't leave the stadium.
I looked around for 2 seconds and nobody was moving. And you know, I shot out. I parked perfectly. I was right in the F. I mean I was.
And also. You know, if you're focused trying to get that parking lot, you can do something.
Yeah, make some moves.
I was in no.
Yeah, I laser. I had to exit.
I was just totally passive. Like, oh, hey, you want to get in front of me? Go ahead. I don't care.
Right.
Whatever. I'm totally non-aggressive. I
was on a light jog to the car through the parking lot. I mean, I was.
I wouldn't even pay. I ended up like where Blue Ridge Mall used to be. I'm like, I literally go. How in the hell did we get here? Like, I wasn't because I
could. No, yeah, because you
I was able
directed.
To navigate from there, but I honestly had no idea how we got to that because I was just following.
Right.
You know,
just going with the flow.
And I go, and all it was like, where am I? And I'm looking around, I go, huh, this is where Blue Ridge Mall used to be. Okay. Not planning that whatsoever, but I was just like, you know, I wasn't focused. I was just trying. I guess.
You were in a daze. You were dazed and confused.
I was just, you know what I was doing? You hear, I was going with the flow. I was going with the flow. I don't know.
I was the flow.
You know, and then it just, oh, and I love our post game.
Oh, God, no.
But I turned it on.
Oh, my.
And
oh,
I just,
woof.
And I just turned around.
I tried.
And before I said it.
I tried.
Phil is real good. Phil said it before I was getting ready to say it. And he goes, and that's why I don't take calls, right, Dad? I
go, yep.
That's right, Phil.
Yep. Yep.
They were some of the, I tip my cap to Danny Klingscale, Josh Briscoe,
Mr.
and
Brad Porter.
I tip my cap to you because,
really,
boy.
Brad. I mean,
oh,
he was. Danny.
Some of those calls.
Those callers,
oh,
right.
No. And I'm going to tell you, I could smell the whiskey through the radio. Oh yeah. Oh, no.
Yep. That's where your cop is going to pull me over listening to those guys.
Right. I was like, ah. But I listened. And
I did for a bit.
You know, and I don't have anything to say today.
It's not the day for that.
I haven't really. It's difficult to process. I mean, because you know you have to. I went right from the end of that game to dealing with the kids and then getting out of the parking lot, and then all of a sudden, hey, it's 2 a.m. All right, great. You know, I mean, it was. trying to have the proper perspective, it was, so if you're not a Chiefs or a Patriots fan, if you're watching that, that was one of the more remarkable AFC Championship games you'll ever see. I mean, there was a time that the Chiefs, that team could have laid down and thrown in the towel after they were just physically dominated in the first half. It was a coaching mismatch in the first half. The Patriots should have been up 21, I think. I mean, if you look at the stats and how the game went, it felt like it should have been 21-3 or 24-0, something, you know. I felt like it should have been down three scores. They're down two scores, that's enough. But I just kept thinking, you know, they're lucky to be only down 14-0. They're lucky to be down 14-0. And then, you know, we were just talking, hey, like, what was the score there? Hey, they were down 15 at halftime of the game at New England, and they came back to take a lead.
24-9?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They came back to take a lead in the fourth quarter in New England. I said, hey, they were down 15 at New England. They can come back from down 14 at Arrowhead. You know, and they came right out and answered the bell. And in one of the more, remarkable fourth quarters, I mean, you talk about a game that was 17-7 after three quarters. The fourth quarter alone, 24-14 Chiefs. The fourth quarter score alone was 24-14. The mind-boggling and mind-numbing lead changes and dramatic plays and everything else. And then, of course, in the overtime, it's decided by a coin flip. And it was pretty, I don't know about you guys, it just felt like, okay, whoever gets the ball here is going to win because both of these defenses are done. And let me remind you that the Patriots defense was done just as much as the Chiefs defense was done. Mm-hmm. They gave up 24 points in the fourth quarter. They gave up a drive. Well, how much time was left when the Chiefs took the ball over in the last
39 half? Seconds? 30,
drove right 32. Down the field.
Well, 39, I think, when they kicked it off. 32 when they took possession.
So I will. The one question that I was going to ask you, and like my mind is all over the place, but did you have any issues with the end of regulation strategy of settling for the field goal when there was enough time?
11 seconds.
It was risky. Because if you take a sack, then the game's over. But you have the MVP, and you have 11 seconds, and you're tempting fate by going to overtime, and depending on the coin flip. Do you wish they would have taken one more crack in the end zone just to win the game right there?
So I didn't, at the time, have a problem with it. I was really nervous when they did take the crack into the end zone because they took a sack earlier in the game that cost them a field goal. I did see, I think it was Randy Gisarli pointed out that Andy Reid could have taken a timeout 10 seconds sooner when the Patriots had their last drive before that. That would have given them 10 more seconds.
He was calling for the timeout.
Yeah.
I mean, we were screaming, call for the timeout. And he was very animated trying to get the timeout. And I thought, well, hell, they need to put, because they weren't looking at him.
Right.
And the time was clicking. And I thought they didn't. They should. I mean, he was calling for the timeout, but yes. Yes.
Because maybe if you got even five more seconds, something like that, you could take another shot. And, you know, if you had 5 or 10 more seconds, maybe you don't have to take that first shot in the end zone. You can throw it 10 yards again. And then you give yourself another 10 seconds to try to, try to get into the end zone or whatever. Obviously, in hindsight, it wouldn't have been a bad idea to take another shot. But at the time, I thought, you know what? You got to take the field goal here and try to get this thing to overtime.
No, I got it because Richie goes, they need to throw in the end zone and try to win it right here. I said, no, because if they get sacked and they've been putting pressure on Mahomes all night long, if they sack him, the game is over.
Yeah.
Okay, or some kind of holding penalty.
Yeah, move it back 10 yards. And
And then obviously as soon as they go to overtime, I look at it, you're right. You're right.
I didn't have a problem with it. There were people around me like, we should be going one more time.
I'm just curious to hear what you guys said because
I was like,
I didn't
no,
have
kick
a problem
it
with it at the time. I was nervously going kick this field goal, yeah, get this thing to overtime.
Right. I mean, that place was deflated when they took the lead with 39 seconds. I was like, all they need is a field goal. They can get in field goal range, and people are like, oh yeah, it's just three.
But
the Pats defense was done.
They were done, yeah. But there was still the chance that Tom Brady might throw another pick. He threw two, should have been three in the game. Oof. There was at least a chance that the defense could make a play. They made a few plays in the game. They got a fourth down stop when Daniel Sorensen made that big tackle. So I thought there was at least a chance that they could at least hold him to a field goal.
Well, how many third and tens do they have in overtime? Three?
Oh, my God. Just right down the field.
Man.
Third down. Yeah, and not a single blitz. I don't know if that would have made a difference.
We need a break, but I don't know if this conversation. I was asked by several people via text and why are the Patriots get a call the coin toss? And not that it would matter or whatsoever, but, they get the coin toss because they're visitors at the beginning of the game, but for overtime, what designates them? Why do they just automatically get to, Chiefs are the higher seed. They had a better. Why in overtime do they get a call the heads or tails? Not that it matters. It makes zero.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think statistically it really makes that big of a difference, but,
The fact that a coin toss could play that significant of a role in a football game is
there
so
you go.
Stupid.
I guess maybe that's the point.
So stupid.
Maybe that's the point.
Just such a. Right. Dumb overtime.
They need,
rule.
I mean, they need to change that rule again. I mean, they've made changes, but both teams need to touch the ball.
Well, the changes I'd like to see made would have to do with the defense stopping opposition in the overtime.
That's true too.
That was the first thing I heard when I walked out of that
stadium.
Those
are the changes I will vote for.
People yelling, "I better hear Bob Sutton needs to be fired tomorrow." I'm like, "Yep, well."
I'm for both. I'm for both changes to that stupid rule and some changes.
Yeah,
I don't want to sit here and
it's sour.
No. It's just they're questions
I get,
to be raised.
I get what you're saying.
It's sour grapes, but like you said. Anybody think if that coin toss goes the other way that the Patriots were stopping the Chiefs at that point?
No.
And that just sucks. It's not fair. But hey, it's the rules as they were. Chiefs were at home. They could have gotten
hold
stopped.
Them to a
they had two
hold
chances
to
get
goal.
Stopped at the
right.
end of regulation and at the end of and then in overtime and they couldn't get a stop either time.
Look, they scored 31 points in the second half, but they scored zero in the first half.
Yeah,
that too.
Yep.
They scored. There's two quarters I could look back at, and they didn't score a point.
That game looked like one team was prepared in the first half, and one team wasn't.
Those three and outs at the beginning. I mean, yes, the defense allowed an 8-yard drive, or eight minute drive.
Yeah.
But the offense went three and out twice in a row to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of why they didn't have the ball any in the first half. It is.
And they couldn't run the ball effectively.
I gotta say though,
Tyreek Hill had one catch.
Travis Kelce had three.
Right. I mean, that's Bill Belichick shut down those two guys, and that's no team's really been able to do that all year long.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Nate?
Well,
go ahead.
Say it.
I still can't get over the idea that if Dee Ford lines up onside, we're talking about Tom Brady throwing a pick.
No, we're talking about Super Bowl.
And the Chiefs, right.
No,
yeah,
no
yes.
we're talking about
Super Bowl.
We are talking about Super Bowl.
I hate. Oh.
No, I mean that changed for me. I've never
can't
had
blame one player.
I've
for
never
a game,
had a bigger
but,
swing in my life of all of sports.
I didn't
in
see
my
the
entire
flag
life.
When it was thrown.
I didn't either. I was celebrating.
So did he? I mean,
we were going nuts at my house. But then,
so
that,
did Brady? Did Brady throw that? Knowing that there was a flag.
No, I don't think. I don't think he had any idea.
I mean, there was the flag was thrown at the line of scrimmage, right?
Well, by the line judge on the opposite side of the field where he threw it, and it wasn't like, usually it's like a guy jumps, and you see the flag, but he just lined up there.
And he was in the neutral zone?
Yeah. I mean, it's a game of inches. It's only, but yeah, he was. Now, maybe somebody would go back and look and see how many times through the course of the game is a defensive end lined up in the neutral zone. I don't know the answer to that, but yes, he was in the neutral zone there. And he owned up to it after the game, but...
And we have those comments.
We were in our house, my old man just fixates on how much he doesn't like Dee Ford. So every play, no matter whether they had anything to do with Dee Ford or not, he would make some comment about Dee Ford not doing anything. So I had everybody in our house talking about how, you know, D4 is going to get a sack here on this last drive of the game. He's going to get a sack, and he's going to win the game for the Chiefs. And instead of that, he gets called for an offsides that took the Super Bowl away from the Chiefs. So.
Well, nobody had a sack, so.
No, nobody did.
But one quarterback hit?
Nobody had a sack.
No. They double-teamed D Ford almost every pass play on a lot of those drives, and, you know, you'd think if they're leaving so many guys in to block that maybe you want to rush an extra guy. Maybe blitz every once in a while since they're leaving extra guys in to block. They had a running back chipping D Ford almost every time. That means he's not going out in the pass pattern. That means maybe somebody else, I don't know, blitz, come after the quarterback.
Chiefs lose 37-31 to the New England Patriots in overtime. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's going to hurt, which I could obviously see. That's important. That's how you get better. And this team has done that throughout the season. When the chips were down, we fought back and did a little bit in this game here, but we came up a little short. So let it drive you through the off season and have this feeling that hurt, and let that carry you through so that you don't experience it again.
Andy, are you able to describe your emotions speaking with Clark after the game? Was that particularly emotional for you?
Yeah, well, we wanted to bring the Hunt Trophy home here. So I think all our players did, and all the coaches, and that's a tough thing. So, somebody gets in, the fact that they get to do it right here is real tough. So, we're going to get that something we've got. So we just, we'll bear down this offseason and make sure we get better.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us. And I know that today's not the day that you want to hear this, but it's true. It was a successful season for the Chiefs. They came up short. It was a very disappointing loss. It was a missed opportunity last night. A missed opportunity to capitalize on being the number one seed and having the AFC Championship game at home. At Arrowhead Stadium, they didn't win. But that doesn't change what I've said all season long and the way I feel right now about this quarterback, Patrick Mahomes II, that they are going to be in this game multiple times in the near future. They are. I know people will say, well, you can't. It's an opinion. Everything's an opinion right now. In my opinion, they're going to be in this game multiple times in the future. And they are eventually going to get to the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes II. This isn't like, for me, devastating playoff losses in the past where the immediate conversation was, okay, well, who's the quarterback going to be next year? Because this quarterback sucks. Or who's the quarterback going to be next year? This quarterback can't get him over the hump. This quarterback's not good enough. Patrick Mahomes is good enough. He traded blows with Tom Brady in the fourth quarter, back and forth, and they lost because the coin flip went the Patriots' way. The Chiefs get the coin flip in the overtime, they win. But they didn't, and the Patriots did. You tip your cap to the Patriots. Bill Belichick was terrific in his game plan in the first half, and Brady came through in the clutch like he normally does. Now, the defense demands massive change on the staff and the personnel. That's just the truth. They paid a lot of money to players on the defense that they're not getting the full return. They have to decide what they're going to do with Eric Berry. They have to decide what they're going to do with Justin Houston. There are a lot of questions to be answered on the defense. And they have to decide what they're going to do with Bob Sutton. The decision should already be made. They need a change. They need a change. If you don't want to fire him, just tell Bob Sutton, hey, go ahead and step down. We'll let you step down. I think we all felt that way before the season. They didn't do it. Season played out. They were a hair away from the Super Bowl. But they need a fresh voice as defensive coordinator. Thank him for his efforts and move on down the line. They need a fresh voice as defensive coordinator. You guys agree?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's reactionary. Nope. I think that's just the truth.
I think we probably felt that way going into this game regardless. Right. I mean, I know I did. I know I absolutely did.
I mean, we've been talking about it. This defense got worse from last year to this year. They made personnel changes, and the defense got worse. It had some good moments at the very end of the season and the first round of the playoffs, but, it's not too hard to make an argument that Andy Reid's loyalty to Bob Sutton could have cost his team a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, it's time. It's time for a new attitude on defense, you know, if nothing else. Even if you don't think Bob Sutton did that bad of a job, it's just obvious that this team needs a new attitude on defense. They need a new mindset.
And I'll add this. The most devastating injury for this football team this year that kept them out of the Super Bowl was the injury to Earl Thomas. Because he was about to become a Kansas City Chief. Mm. And if he didn't get hurt in that game in Seattle, the Chiefs trade for him. And if this defense had Earl Thomas, they win. And they go to the Super Bowl. And if you remember, I believe I told you that the day after that injury. I said that injury may keep the Chiefs out of the Super Bowl. And it's crazy to think an injury to a player on another team was that impactful. But I believe in enough people that know have told me that the Chiefs were very, very close to finalizing a deal for Earl Thomas. And if they did, and he doesn't get hurt in that Seattle game, singing a different tune. They know, and they need massive upgraded safety. Massive upgraded safety. And he would have been a massive upgrade. But ifs and buts, candies and nuts. There's injuries in football. That's what happens. Back into this on WHB.
Yeah, so they blitzed about every down, played man coverage. They were able to get home there a little bit on some of their games. So we made a few adjustments at halftime and came back. I probably should have done them earlier. You know, that's my responsibility, so I'll take that. But I'm proud of the way the guys battled back, put ourselves in a position to win the game. Unfortunately, penalties, you know, become an issue. And whether I think they're questionable or not, they were there. We had an interception right at the end to finish the game, you know. You know, one of the quickest outside linebackers in the National Football League, they call him offside. So, you know, I'll take a peek at that and see what it looks like. But, you know, we gave ourselves opportunities to finish the game.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll talk to Sam Mellinger in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. Also, Adam Teicher from ESPN at 9:05. Has some post-game sound for you from the locker room out at Arrowhead Stadium after the game, as the Chiefs lose 37-31 to the Patriots in overtime, and the numbers, boy, it's shocking that this game was even in overtime when you look at the statistics. First downs, Patriots 36-18, total plays run 94-47. Total yards, Patriots 524, the Chiefs 290. Time of possession, 43-59 for the Patriots, 20-53 for the Chiefs. Chiefs were shut out in the first half, but unbelievably, again, scoring 24 points in the fourth quarter to send that game to overtime. But they couldn't run the football. 41 yards on the ground, only 12 attempts. 3.4 yards per carry, while the Patriots ran the ball 48 times. Only had 3.7 yards per carry, but still 48 times. Did not get away from the game plan, 176 yards. The game plan was this: run the ball on first and second down, and then put the ball in Tom Brady's hands on third down.
Third and short, usually,
over
too.
And over and over. Or just third and 10 repeatedly in overtime.
Yeah, in overtime.
But I think there was, wasn't there three of them? Or am I crazy?
No, I think you're right.
Third and 10, third and 10, third and 10.
But it just seemed like their first couple of drives, they had, like, I think, three converted third downs, and they were like third and two, third and three. And it's like, and
you
third
guys,
manageable.
you guys were not watching on TV, obviously, because you were at the
three
game.
Three third and tens converted on
in overtime.
On the overtime drive. Three third and tens in overtime. How many times will you ever see one freaking drive? 13 plays, 75 yards, three third and 10 conversions.
And I think Tony Romo predicted what the Patriots would do on each one of those plays.
Well, hire him as defensive coordinator.
That's what I said last night. Tony Romo for defensive coordinator. And they used to always say that, you know, Greg Maddux would make an incredible hitting coach because he knows what the pitcher's thinking all the time. I was thinking about that with Tony Romo. Maybe he'd make an incredible defensive coordinator because he knew what the Patriots were going to call. I mean, it was incredible, guys. They got Gronk lined up out wide. What they're going to do here is they're going to have the running back chip the defensive end, and they're going to hit Gronk over the middle. Boom. I mean, and I bet you it happened 10 times in the game where he predicted exactly what the Patriots were going to do. But the Chiefs didn't seem to be ready for it. And that was tough to watch. But I still go back to he had three picks, but then he only had two picks.
Right. Because D Ford lined up in the neutral zone. So
I mean that's just crushing. I know that's gonna haunt D Ford forever.
And he was clearly in the neutral zone.
Yeah, he was.
It's just when you were at the game, you just didn't know what the hell was going on.
Right.
It was you know, bedlam.
I mean, I didn't see it when it, as it happened, I wasn't going, oh, look at D Ford, he's lined up in the neutral zone. Right. But then when they went back and showed the still frame, he is. And I've gone back and I'm watching a game and it's not like he's lined up in the neutral zone every play. He was.
Yeah, I was. Not interested in watching any replays last night. Eventually I will, but that was, I had seen enough by the time I got home.
I know people don't want to hear positivity on a day like today, but I'm with you 100%. I firmly believe this team will be back.
Well, every other time when they've lost in the playoffs, what's been the bitch and moan session or the debate? Well, this quarterback can't get him. Who's going to be the quarterback next year? They got to do something. Well, that's solved. That's solved. Now, who's defensive coordinator going to be? And who's playing safety? Mm-hmm. Because those guys aren't good enough.
Incredibly, had they went on to win that game, Daniel Sorensen would have been one of the heroes. You know, with that stop on fourth down, with that interception that he had. But you're right. I mean, obviously, they need to get better they need to get better at a lot of things on defense.
Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. It's Monday, January 21st, 2019. And I still love my quarterback. Thank you. Patrick Mahomes II. You wake up, you have some eggs, put some ketchup on them.
Mahomes.
It's going to be all good.
Mahomes.
Let's hear from Chiefs center Mitch Morse, who spoke with reporters after the game.
Well, I got nothing for you except it was just, it's gut-wrenching for sure.
You guys had such a great season, and wow, what a way to build, especially with this quarterback. Yeah. I know it's hard to think that way, but what you guys did tonight, that sure has a huge foundation for next year. Sure. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I think it just speaks about the resilience of this team, this group of guys. I'm sure as hell proud to be a part of them. Proud to be a part of these last, this last season, these last few years. So it's fun, it's interesting, and this team is just one of a kind. Just the kind of chemistry, true friends. We have a bunch of, we're all real good friends, and I think that's something you don't find often in the league.
What did the coach say to you that you can share? He knows you are all hurdles.
I think he didn't have any words to say. He knew this was going to sting, as it should, and we were going to reconvene tomorrow.
When you think of those last few minutes, what kind of roller coaster ride were you on with that? You guys score,
sure.
They score,
yeah.
And right. You know the two quarterbacks you have can do the job.
Right. Yeah, I think it was who had the ball last. Kudos to Tom Brady and those guys. You know, there's a reason why he's been able to do what he does. He's just a tremendous football player. But like I said, we just put ourselves in a bad position the first half. So, you know, it was great. We scored 31 points in the second half, but we shouldn't have had to do that.
A couple more guys.
What were the halftime adjustments you guys made that allowed you to have more success in the second half offensively?
Well, I think it was just I think we just had to come out with some better juice and better energy, and we knew what they were going to bring. And yeah, the first half wasn't a secret what they were going to do. We were poor executing. So it was a very spirited locker room in the halftime, as it should be. And we weren't playing, executing like we should as an offense, and the defense was really kind of doing a great job. So for us, we scored 31 points, we got in overtime, but we shouldn't have been in that position in the first place.
That was Mitch Morse after the game. Coming up, we'll hear from Spencer Ware and Cam Irving and Chris Jones and Dee Ford. Right at 7 o'clock, we'll play about 6 minutes of Patrick Mahomes II and his meeting with the media after the game. I know some people have made the comparison. Some people don't like the comparison, but that's all I can really compare it to. I know it's different sports, but I remember how bad it felt in 2014 after Game 7 of the World Series. But they laid a foundation. They came back and won the next year. Now, changes got to be made. And this is different because there was even a shorter window, a smaller window, a very small window for that Royals team, as you can see what's happened since then. They've got the quarterback right. They've got the franchise quarterback right. And so they're going to have a nice, long window. And look, you can't take anything for granted. Anything can happen. But I feel pretty confident saying that they got a nice window of 10 to 12 to, hell, I don't know, 15 years. Quarterbacks played with their 40. Two of them were on display yesterday. And so, and I know it's difficult to digest that right now. It's a bitter pill, but there are great days ahead for this quarterback and this franchise. Today's doesn't feel like one of them, but they took a huge first step in winning in the divisional round, advancing to the AFC Championship game, and a terribly disappointing, heartbreaking loss last night. But Patrick Mahomes ain't going nowhere. And neither are we. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for watching us on 38 The Spot. Thank you for listening to Sports Radio 810. The TV portion of the show is over, but we will continue on the radio for the next 3 hours.
Do we have to?
Yep. You know what? If we do shows after they win in the playoffs, we do shows after they lose.
Fine.
We're going to lead by example, Jacob.
All right.
All right?
Okay.
And we'll hold each other in the commercial breaks.
All right.
But that's normal. Every day.
Glad you lost weight.
Shut up. Please keep listening to us on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have families to feed.